This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Always brought to you by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on Barton Hahn, including Mike Greenberg, in just a few minutes.
I have so much to ask him.
Host of the draft tomorrow night. I've got a few.
And none of it has to do with actually, like, players.
Oh, my first question for Greeny in just a few minutes is, who are you wearing tomorrow night?
Exactly.
That's what I want to know. You know, is it John Varvatos? Is it Hugo Boss? Gucci? Where are we going?
I want to know if he's going to have, like, wardrobe changes. And I want to know if he's going to have an opening act like the Oscars where, like, he comes down, like, on, like, suspension
like wire. Billy Crystal?
Yeah, like, he comes down. It's your life. Like, do you have, like, a little show? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, because Greeny's an entertainer. That's one thing he's true. He's a great entertainer, and he loves his fashion.
Yes, right? He does.
If you ever go to the set, you know, I know you guys see him up top, you know what I'm saying? But down low, he got them red bottoms on. He knows his fashion. He spends a little of that money. So I want to know, like, who's he wearing? Like, who is, like, how long has he had it, right? Because much like draft night, you know, people take the outfit, they lay it out. You got to step back.
Who will be dressed better, the prospects or Greeny?
Because I want to know if he's going to go for, like, men in black, like skinny tie, you know what I mean? Like, Greeny doesn't really give me spy like James Bond, but he can be like the assistant. He can be the spy. He can be like the scientist that has a good tie on, that gives him the suitcase that has all the gadgets.
You're
in
putting
it.
Him in the lab? I mean, come on, man.
Not quite the lab, but you know what I'm saying? I don't see Greeny with the hand to hand. He looks like a non-confrontational type of guy. So I wonder what he's going to have on. You know what I mean? Like, does he have the John Wick suit on? Clean and tight?
It doesn't have to be the combat part, but he's got the leisure part wrapped up.
Ooh, can we do a prop bet? What's the over-under on the guard so we can know how thick the beard is going to be?
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Is he going to go, like, 2 days after the shave, or is he going to go, like, deep?
Is he going to clean it up with a one?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is he going to go Keanu Neal?
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves. Right, Keanu Neal is a football player.
Yeah, no, I know.
Is he going to go Keanu Reeves depth, or is he going to go, like, Brady, 5 o'clock shadow, like, oh, or is he going to go Max Kellerman? Like, so are those the three that we're going to go with?
Well, we're going to find out in 6 minutes. Oh, he will join us on the Goodyear Hotline in just a few. Let's get to some NBA, though, because the Nets clinched a playoff spot last night. And when it comes to the Nets, that's not any big surprise. And even the head coach, Steve Nash, is saying there's a lot more in front of us.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. You know, I think we have our eyes on bigger things. But, you know, it's a nice first step to clinch a berth. And, you know, for this group, facing all we faced, to be in this position at this with 10 games left is very positive.
Here's my problem. With the situation they have with players who are kind of coming and going as far as when they're going to play between Kyrie, Durant, and Harden, I continue to think that this is not sustainable. Yet every time I see two of them on the court at the same time, it is ridiculous how good they are.
Yeah.
And just the thought, even if Harden wasn't back, I love their chances to win a championship before the trade because I like the defensive guys they had, like Jared Allen, and in having a third option like Caris LeVert was pretty good. But now I still like their chances to win a championship even if they only have two of these guys on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, because they can get hot. And really what gives you the confidence to say that is the fact that the others – the Browns, the Harris, they've all stepped up. They've all had the opportunity to be able to get experience, meaningful experience, right? That's the great thing about, you know, the top three has been inconsistent. Everybody else has been very consistent. So you can trust these guys in tight spots. They've all shined throughout the season. I mean, come on, putting Brown in the pick and roll has worked, like, tremendously because he's a small coming over with the pick and roll. He can roll to the basket and he can shoot. So it puts bigs and they can go small. They can go, you know, big. And, you know, the loss of Aldridge, you know, gives them a little limitations on things that they can do. But, man, like, this is going to be exciting how they match up. You know, the only thing that gives me, you know, pause is the fact that Embiid threw DeAndre Jordan around like he was a 12-year-old toddler.
But that's the thing for me. Do they have a 20-year-old toddler? Nice. Is that a thing for me to really be concerned about when I look at it? Can Embiid be enough as amazing as he is? We know Simmons is not going to shoot. He can attack the basket. He's going to dish. I can't trust Tobias Harris in any kind of situation. They've got Tobias some good Harris defenders like Matias Thybulle.
Yeah.
But who would I look at with the Sixers and say – this is going to be the other guy that is going to deliver for them in addition to Embiid. Because I think the Sixers are the only team that have a chance.
It's not about the offense, you know, because you're not going to outscore Brooklyn. It's about the defense, right? And what I want to see and what I'll pay to see and what I'm excited about seeing is if Ben Simmons is a defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
At times, can he shut down or slow down Kevin Durant?
He better be able to.
Kevin Durant, 7 feet. People forget Ben Simmons is 6'10".
Yeah.
So this isn't like a David and Goliath type of thing. You talk about a guy that can stay in front of Durant, but also will Ben Simmons be willing to get physical? Because, listen, we know that he doesn't have to expend much energy on the offensive side of the ball because he's not looking for a shot. He's just looking to facilitate, which we worry about, you know, players having to extend themselves two ways. Like we always talk about Kawhi Leonard, like how hard it is for him to play at a high level offensively and defensively. All they need Ben Simmons to say, okay, this is my guy. Remember like Hoosiers? Like, I got him, coach. Yep. When you lock him on him, you know what I'm saying? I got him, coach. And that is your entire job. The problem is if Harden is healthy, who helps against Harden?
That's the thing. Like, Thibault is an excellent player defensively. I think he could help, but I just don't know how any of them are going to be able to collectively be shut down enough where that offense is going to slow down. And then on crosstown in New York, the Knicks have the Bulls tonight, and with the ridiculous West Coast road trip that the Knicks have coming up, this is a game that they absolutely have to get. Because I told you yesterday, I thought for them to get locked into that fourth seed, they had to get to 40 wins. And that's six more out of the last 10. This is one that you have to have.
That's a 60% clip you're talking about, Chris.
I know.
They're coming off of a hot streak where they won 9 in a row. Now you're asking them to go 6 out of 10, starting with the Bulls. Yeah, that should be barbecue chicken. You know, but you talk about, man, going forward, you hope, or I bet they hope that going down the end of the season that some of these teams are going to rest some of their guys once they're already locked in. That's what you can hope for. On a West Coast trip, guys can't help their cause. They can't move up or down, so they won't put their players at risk. That's the great thing about, you know, when you look at the schedules late. Yeah, you might go against a desperate team that has to win to get in the play-in, but you may go against a team that's already locked in at 4. And if they're locked in at 4, if they're locked in at 5, they may say, you know what, I'm not going to risk anything. I'm not going to risk getting one of my premier players hurt for the playoffs. The Knicks can do whatever they want to do. We experienced that when I was with the Jets when the Colts decided to rest everybody in the second half.
Here's the one thing I think gets overlooked with the Knicks right now. We talk about how great they are defensively.
Yeah.
But if you look at the last 13, 14 games, their offense has been tremendous. And now, granted, this is a little bit of a deceiving number. They're fifth in the NBA in three-point shooting.
Yeah.
And that's because of Julius Randle and what he's done to improve in that area this year. But the thing I would look at with them, yes, they've been in three overtime games during this stretch, so they're going to score more points. But, Bart, they're scoring 118 points a game over the last 13, whereas for the season, they're only averaging like 105. They're at the very bottom of the league. Yeah. It's getting better. It's getting better.
Well, you have to hope with them that the blueprint, you know how sometimes, you know, teams watch another team and they see something? You better hope that because of how the Suns defended Randle late in the game, that isn't the recipe for how to stop the Knicks and people start getting the ball out of his hands and not allowing him to be able to do the iso ball and isolate, and they just get the ball out of his hands. I just don't think the other guys are creative enough to get their own shot to be able to consistently score and to get above 100, 118, which puts more pressure on their defense.
We will find out exactly how far along the Knicks have come in terms of a guy like R.J. Barrett and his development when it's not just a nice second option, when he has to be the guy on that other option. Well, I tell you what, it's fascinating to watch it play out. Meanwhile, what's fascinating is the NFL draft, which is coming up tomorrow night on ABC and on ESPN. Greeny himself, Mike Greenberg, will be hosting the draft, and he joins us right now via the Goodyear Hotline on Bart and Hahn. Greeny, it's Chris Carlin in for Alan along with Bart. The first question right out of the gate, who will you be wearing tomorrow night?
Who will I be wearing?
Yes, will it be John Varvatos, Screeny? Will it be Gucci? What will we be looking at?
Looks like a Tom Ford type of guy to me.
It could be one of those that you just mentioned. The only thing I will say is that the one thing that is not coincidental is that I will be wearing a purple tie in honor of my beloved Northwestern University Wildcats, who for the first time in our history will have two players selected in the first round. So the tie will be purple. The rest of it will be comparatively irrelevant.
So now, Greeny, we're accustomed to, like, okay, the pick is in. The prospect gets up, puts his hat on, and he hugs the commissioner. For the Northwestern guys, will you be there to greet them with their hat and a hug?
Yes. When Rashawn Slater is selected, and he is going to be here in Cleveland, he will be one of the players in the green room. Yes, I'm hoping that right after he hugs Goodell, he comes over to our set and gives me a big hug. He genuinely, all kidding aside, is a terrific player, fellas. He played a year of right tackle in 2018, a year of left tackle in 2019. He's very versatile. He can play outside. He can play inside. I think he is going to be a terrific player for a decade in the NFL, and I think he has a good chance to go in the top 10 tomorrow night.
Greeny joining us right now via the Goodyear Hotline, of course, hosting the NFL draft tomorrow night on ABC and ESPN. Greeny, this whole process, I don't know that people would ever fully have an appreciation for what it's like to get ready for an event like this. Your head has to have been buried in books for the last couple of months reading about all these prospects. What has this been like? What has your preparation been for this assignment?
Honestly, it has been so much more fun and so much less cumbersome than I expected it to be. I started about 6 weeks ago, and I lean on Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, and Matt Miller. And every time they come out with a new list, whether it's a mock draft or whether it's an overall board of the best players in the draft, I just make sure that I have notes on each of them. So I'm doing rounds 1, 2, and 3. I've got a book of 120-something players that I've done where I have done notes on all of them, and I have watched tape on all of them. You can find clips of every one of these players on YouTube so easily. So I have a working knowledge of about 120-something players for 96 picks. If at any point a player is selected and all you hear me say is, Mel, you'll know that is not a player. You'll know that was not one of the ones I saw coming. I hope that we don't have many, if any, of those. But honestly, it has been fun. And I have, I've learned so much about players, their stories, the ways that they fit. It's been a different process than it has been in years past. Obviously, it's my first time. But from what all these people I'm working with tell me, not having the combine, not having all the in-person visits, it's changed the dynamics of the way this goes so much. So the one thing, we just had a Zoom a little while ago with the entire draft crew. The one thing I think we can predict is that there will be more surprises, more names you don't expect to hear in round one than any previous year, because the evaluations of these teams have been so different from one another, and the medical reports came in so late. Bart, you know that the incredible importance of this. The medical reports, which usually these teams get so much early, came in much later in the process. And as you know, those will have a lot to do with who does and doesn't get selected.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's going to be a lot of decisions made last minute as they're getting all the information and guys are changing and sliding up and down the draft board. But, Greeny, as you went through the process, and I remember hearing you announce that, hey, I have finished my draft prep, I believe it was like 2 weeks ago, you know, when you announced that you had finished it. But when you talked a little bit about the stories that you hear and the makeup and how they got to that point and the adversity that all players have to face, but some have unique stories. Tell us somebody that you have just fallen in love with that you may have not known and who may not be one of these top 10 players that's going to be picked.
Well, I mean, if you mean because of the story, there are so many guys that have fascinating storylines. Christian Darrisaw, who is going to be a top 20 pick in this draft, I think offensive tackle out of Virginia Tech, was the 171st rated offensive tackle coming out of high school. So, I mean, stories like that I just think are fabulous. My goal is, after each player is picked, Bart, I'm going to talk for 15 seconds. I don't think people want to hear a lot from me. I'll make sure that there is a quick note like that or some statistics or something like that that I can share. But then I'm firmly of the belief, as a talk show host, this is the talk show host in me, that what the audience wants to hear is, do you like the pick or not, Mel? How does this player fit in here, Lewis? Should they have gone with someone else? Booger, does this make them the best team in the AFC East? Those are the questions I want to get to as quickly as possible. So that said, some of the fascinating stories, that one from Darrisaw, I really like. Some of the players who, I mean, the story of Quiddy Pay, I don't know how much people know about that, but the fascinating backstory, he was born in a refugee camp in Guinea. The family found their way to Rhode Island. Became an academic All-American and a captain at Michigan. It's an extraordinary story. Joseph Osai, who's a pass rusher from Texas, never saw a football game in his life until he was 10 years old, and his family relocated from Africa to Conroe, Texas. So there are any number of stories like those, and I will make sure that there's a little bit of that flavor when it seems appropriate, and then we will dive headlong into the football because you guys know me. That's what I want to talk about.
Well, we have so many things that we can talk to you about. We're trying to figure out what the prop bet is on, like, what's the depth of the beard. Like, is it going to be a one guard, a two guard, a three guard? But I really want to know, is it going to be a Simonic solo? How are you going to be introduced? Are you coming from the Raptors? Are you coming out? Is it going to be like a grand opening?
Have you pre-taped bits with Joe Douglas and the Northwestern football team yet?
I think I'm just going to be sitting there and Reese Davis, So Reese Davis and the Countdown crew are doing the show on ABC, and I'm doing the show with our crew on ESPN. They're doing a 2-hour show starting at 5 o'clock tomorrow Eastern time on ESPN, getting it ready. Then at 7 o'clock they're throwing to us. So I think I'm going to say, Reese, thank you, everybody. Welcome to Cleveland. It's raining, but there are 50,000 people here, and the draft starts in an hour. Let's go and just dive right into it. I'm well aware that, look, I mean, Bart, you know how this works. Like, I'm a talk show host, and so generally speaking, I do shows that people are tuning into, at least in part, because they want to hear what I have to say. I'm well aware that's not the case tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, people are tuning in because they want to see the draft, and it is my job just to get out of its way and navigate through it as quickly and as efficiently as possible. So that's, I'm going to say hello. It's an absolute honor to be here. Let's go.
Greeny joining us right now via the Goodyear Hotline on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Greeny, I've got a bit of a lightning round for you. Just three quick questions that we need answers to. Number one, the biggest draft bust in the history of the New York Jets is?
See, I don't like attaching injury to that. Like, I mean, the Jets drafted Blair Thomas, number two, in the same year that Emmitt Smith got drafted at running back. And that obviously was a disaster of biblical proportion. But that's largely because of injury. So I don't know that that counts as a bust. They certainly, from a franchise standpoint, it worked out terribly.
Well, it's Gaylor's choice here, Greeny. You can really go anywhere you want with it. There are so many to choose from.
Fair enough. Yeah, I could have lived without that, Chris. I will say Vernon Golston is probably of players that the people listening to us right now will remember. That was a pretty recent pick, and he was just terrible.
He was god-awful, and that answer is correct, Greeny. Secondly, what is the, and you've kind of touched on it already, biggest key for you to have done a great job over the next few days, biggest key to a successful executed draft by the host?
If everyone thinks that the coverage was outstanding and can't remember who hosted it, I honestly believe that is the case. People are watching me to be a point guard, to be like an air traffic controller, and they want to hear what Lewis has to say, and they want to hear what Mel has to say, and what Booger has to say, and get the information from Shefty and Mort, who'll be with us, to hear the interviews that Susie Culber is going to do with all of the players who are going to be here. That's what people are tuning in for. So if they get all of the information and they feel that they have a real full and clear understanding of everyone's opinions of how the draft played out, and they can't quite remember who was sitting in the middle of it all, then I think I will have done a good job.
All right, last one. Has there been any consideration on your part to, in as an homage, if you will, to style your hair like Mel's for tomorrow night?
I think in an homage to Mel, and you guys obviously read the interview that Steve Cervi did with him in the Post the other day. Instead of that, as an homage to Mel, I'm just going to watch Johnny Carson at 11:30 every single night this week, because that's when it was on. When I was growing up and while Mel was watching it, there are so many ways we can do an homage to Mel. The hair, I would say, for me, is probably the least likely of the group.
Listen, there are, again, choices to be made. Mel, which I found out earlier this year, Mel loves mashed potatoes with pizza together. And I know he eats the pumpkin pie every day, but there are some things here. I know you got to be a little bit different to be a draft guru, Greeny, but wow, mashed potatoes with pizza. That's not one I've ever been
to. And he only eats pizza without cheese. Chris, I don't know if you realize that, but that's like a substitute. He eats the pizza without the cheese.
He's eating bread.
Yeah, with mashed potatoes. See, Greeny, this is the kind of thing where I feel like Mel needs to consult me on this kind of thing because that's my expertise. Anyway.
Your area of expertise. I mean, I think the larger philosophical question is if a pizza does not have cheese, has it in fact ceased to be a pizza?
I think that's a great question.
Perfectly legitimate question.
It's a philosophical question, and I think if you ask it tomorrow night during a quiet moment or two, if it gets a little bit down, if something happens, that might be a way to go. Greeny, awesome stuff. We're so looking forward to it tomorrow night. Going to be a blast. Have fun.
Me too. Thank you, guys. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Mike Greenberg joining us via the Goodyear Hotline. He, of course, will anchor all the coverage of the NFL draft on ESPN and ABC tomorrow night. And Bart will be over on ESPN Radio with all the coverage as well. Mike giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So much more to get into via the draft. Bart, we will also hear from the Mets manager on a superstar getting booed last night. And one...
Welcome to New York.
Yeah, exactly. One player in particular in this draft that just doesn't think anything can slow him down despite perceived limitations. It is all on the way. We'll hear from them. Audio files in moments. Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus right after Bart tells us about Home Depot.
Spring makes all things new, and the Home Depot makes all spring things possible. Start a garden, refinish a deck. Use the Home Depot mobile app to put over 2 million products in the palm of your hands, some ready in as little as 2 hours. Oh, and if you don't have the tools you need to get the job done, Home Depot Tool Rental Department does. Download the Home Depot mobile app to get started. Bring it on, spring, with innovative help from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
And now you add a quarterback that you don't have to give the answers to the test to, and Matthew Stafford, who was throwing for 5,000 yards in Detroit? Are you kidding me? With the number one defense? Come on, son. I'm telling you. Write it down. Bart, clip it.
Love it. Love it.
Double down. That's what we do in society now. We double down. Wrong or not, Matthew Stafford can lose a spleen. I'm still on double
down. No. You go down with that ship. You die on that hill. Absolutely. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. It's Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn today, and it is now time for audio files. We begin with a little bit of baseball. Huge move in the offseason by the Mets to bring in Francisco Lindor via trade. Then they gave him $341 million, and it's been a month in New York, and already the fans are booing him. Here is his manager after the game last night.
Our fan base is very passionate. I mean, they support our team, and, you know, we feel that. My thought of it is how, you know, our fan base is passionate, you know, with our team. You know, want everyone to perform consistently on a daily basis. And, you know, it's so early in the season. And the good thing about it is that the guys, they show up every day and they prepare their best, and they come in and they want to give the fans, you know, what they want. They want the win.
Okay. having been on the fan side of this, I normally don't have any issue with fans who really want to boo. But my problem here is it is month one of a, what, 13-year, 10-year contract.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, and really? You just got here. He actually did have a game-winning hit a week or two ago, and I get it. He hasn't been hitting yet, but he does all the other things. He's outstanding defensively. To me, this is just, I get it. But the stadium isn't even full yet. and they're getting on him already. This is a problem for me.
Come on, man. Like, listen, Chris, we worked together a long time. Yeah. You had no problems with Giancarlo.
Well, that was different.
That and getting booed.
Absolutely not.
Like, this was like month one as well. And it was snow outside a couple years ago when Giancarlo came over. So listen, understand. Where much is given, much is expected. And listen, we understand that adjusting to a new league, not have seen these pitchers before, you know, it can be an adjustment period, right? The same things that I'm saying today is the same things that you, when you were teaching me about baseball, were telling me about Giancarlo, who came over. So he doesn't get a pass. If Giancarlo doesn't get a pass, this is how we say we love you and we expect much more from you in New York by booing.
There's a couple differences.
I got booed at halftime, Chris, and we were leading.
Well, you deserved it.
We were winning, and we got booed at home.
But you weren't winning by enough. I mean, you went playing great.
Welcome to New York.
Exactly. The problem with Stanton was twofold. Number one, he went to the Yankees.
Yes.
Number two, somebody else gave him that contract. And number three, he went to the Yankees. And there's a whole nother level of expectation that's supposed to be there. If you're the Mets right now, if you're the Met fan, I get it. Everybody wants to win. It's been so long since you've had real sustained success. This guy's going to be part of it. He doesn't seem to be bothered by it. I want to lay a little bit low here to begin because we just want everybody to be happy right out of the gate. Stanton, nothing has really changed since he has been here. It has to change with Lindor. Stanton does nothing but get hurt and strike out and hit home runs when it's 6-1. That's what he does.
Okay, so listen, we're hoping that that's not the same case about Lindor, and it'd be another bad signing. You know,
I know.
So it's not off to a bad start, right? And you're talking about, well, he did drive and run a couple weeks. Come on, man.
It was a game-winning hit.
The Kraken is benched. The Kraken started off hot. Didn't he start off with like two home runs in the first two games? And where is he at right now?
Yeah, he's on the bench.
Are you crying for him?
No.
Okay, then. So we're not going to cry for Lindor because guess what? On Tuesday when he gets a check,
he gets to
swim in the money like Scrooge McDuck.
Yes, for a month and a half, yes, he does. Come on. You cannot do – and don't compare Gary Sanchez to Francisco Lindor.
He was supposed to be the greatest offensive catcher in the history of the game, right? He was supposed to be Mike Piazza.
And
right.
He's been terrible the last couple of years.
But what have you done for me lately, Lindor? Not much.
Wow. Number two, Devontae Smith from Alabama. Bart, so much has been made of the fact – that he may not even be 170 pounds. He may be 166 pounds. Here's Devontae on him. Go ahead.
He wear medium at Gap. He go to Gap and like, give me a medium.
The schmedium.
Give me a medium.
Not the medium, the schmedium. As in between small and medium. Here's Devontae on what those limitations actually mean in the grand scheme.
Really just think that I can do everything. I mean, I know I can do everything inside, outside. You put me on special teams. I mean, it's nothing that I can't do. So, I mean, just I feel like that gives me the edge over a lot of guys. And, I mean, just really, I look at it as I'm a football player. We're in the football business. We're here to play football, not to be bodybuilders, not to be weightlifters or nothing like that. So, I mean, if you're looking for a football player, then you got that in me.
Bart, I know a couple of people around the Alabama program. And I have to tell you, in an absolute heartbeat, I would take this guy on my football team. Mm-hmm. Not only do I think that 168-pound thing is a little bit overplayed, but the speed, more importantly, the competitiveness factor behind the scenes, they tell me that he has played on a whole nother level. And a classic example of one of those guys that plays well above his size. And he's an outside guy, too.
Yeah.
Even though he's only 6'1".
But he's going to be out there with Jalen Ramsey. So his size gives me concern because some of those guys with a huge defense radius, if they get their hands on his chest, you know, what's going to happen if they get physical with him? Understanding, yes, he's always been able to get open, but will he be able to get open against the elite premier corners in the league? Listen, I just have concern with, you know, a guy like that, what I would do and what most of the teammates I've played with would do, they would pick him up and they would dump him down and land, put their body weight on him, try and get him up out of there because he is frail. So he's going to have to deal with grown men now who's trying to feed their families. So if I had my preference, I would go with a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, somebody that is, you know, much bigger, that can handle the physicality on the outside. Because of his size, if he can't handle it early on, teams are going to have to either put him in motion, put him in bunch formations, or put him in a slot.
Okay, but would you go Smith or Waddle? Waddle being a slot guy.
Waddle was like a gadget guy too, right? So he gives you more to offer because of his ability to return punts and kickoffs. Mm-hmm. But he's slightly a little bit bigger. But, you know, it's the debate is that Waddle was the better player and that we just didn't get to see it because he got injured. You know, and listen, Smith did what he was supposed to. He stepped up. He saw an opportunity. He made himself the best football player in all of college sports. So you can't deny that and deny. Look at that. We're talking about the yak. We're looking at him being able to bend the corner, the speed to get to the edge. You know, that's Waddle right there. My bad. But, you know, you're talking about, you know, it's a debate. And somebody's going to be right. Somebody's going to be wrong. But both things can be true, right? He can be small and he can be great. Look at Marvin Harris. Deshaun Jackson might only weigh 170 today with his gold chain on.
With the chain. Yeah, maybe two of them to crack 170. Lastly, Kyle Pitts, the tight end who everybody is salivating over on the possibility of being a Dallas Cowboy.
I mean, I would say I don't really like to listen to all of it, but at the end of the day, like I do hear some of it. So when I did hear that, it kind of was something special. You know, to be able to get the chance to play for the Cowboys or even any team in the NFL, something special. So, I mean, days coming. So I feel like things are starting to get kind of more ramped up, but you know, Thursday night we'll see how chips fall.
Bart, trading up for Kyle Pitts would be the most Cowboy thing they could do, and I think it's a mistake if they do that. He's a great player, don't get me wrong. It's not because of the player he is. They need defense. They need defense. I'd trade back if I were the Cowboys.
Well, they need defense as well, but you know, when you talk about getting a game-changing player in the top 10, you want to get a guy who is a legitimate borderline 2-3-4-time Pro Bowler, is going to be considered one of the best players in his position. And if you have an opportunity to get that, I can't argue with that, especially if you have a plan for the defense side of the ball. Like, you know, like Greeny, I'm going through my process and I've been going through all these prospects. And it's a lot of unknown out there because you really didn't – a lot of guys – so many guys opted out. And then so many leagues, you think about the Big Ten, you know, they really didn't have the consistency to be able to continue to play because of the protocols there was different than in the SEC and the ACC. So it's a lot of guys that if you have a great scouting department, we're going to see the teams that have and spend more of their resources on scouting departments and advanced scouting, because they're going to find some hidden gems that guys may not even know about simply because they did deep dives and they were prepared for a pandemic written season.
Bart Nahan on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Up next, would you fight someone that was 50 pounds heavier and 20 years younger than you? I know Bart's answer. We'll ask you and actually find out if somebody else would, one of the all-time greats. That in moments on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
If you missed any portion of the show today, you can always find both hours of Bart and Han posted daily as a podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Chris Carlin in for Alan Han. Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. 888-729-3776. Got a couple of minutes left for your calls on the NFL draft. 888-729-ESPN. Bart, Floyd Mayweather is fighting Logan Paul in Miami June 6th. Listen, Bart, what are we doing?
This almost like him. This almost like when he went over there and he beat the hell out of that Japanese fighter, like in the exhibition. And everybody's like, "Come on, Floyd, what are you doing?" He's like, "Well, they paid me to come over here and I make money, right?" So this is a bit of an exhibition for him. There's no threat to him. And really, what Logan Paul and Jake Paul, his brother, I believe, has been doing is getting the attention. But they're fighting tomato cans or fighting people that's not even boxers. this is a real legitimate threat. And I think Floyd is going to let him know that there's levels to this, as he has he has aspirations to be a real fighter. He wants to be a real fighter. He trains, he puts in the work in. Mm-hmm. He has some talent, has some punching power. We heard Max Kellerman kind of talk about him. But listen, Floyd is in no threat. Floyd, one, can take him to the deep rounds and drown him. Two, Floyd is going to be able to not be hit. Floyd has avoided punches from the likes of Canelo Alvarez. Like, I don't even need to go down the damn list of what he's done. But what it is, this is an easy money grab where he can embarrass somebody and put the money team on top again and grab it back. Because last time, I think the fight, the perch was like $2 million. So that's why it's getting the attention. And now, because it's more of a entertaining thing, you're going to get Logan Paul and Ryan, who made their name based on simply YouTube. They're one of the first big YouTubers that made all their money on YouTube, mm-hmm. their YouTube channels. And listen, like, Floyd's going to be able to make this money grab and not even break a sweat.
20 years younger, 50 pounds heavier. I'm not even going to pretend for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, that matters when it's Floyd Mayweather. Right. But here's what I don't want to see, and you just alluded to it. Floyd always is the most frustrating guy to watch because he just plays defense so much. But I don't want to see Floyd for 8 rounds playing defense against Logan Paul.
But here's what you got, right? What you don't want to see is for him, because this is not a boxing match. This is an entertaining show, because just think, if it's on Triller, which probably is going to be on Triller because that's where the money is coming from. Mm-hmm. You think about what Snoop Dogg kind of being.
I love that Fight Club.
Right. So they have Snoop. And then they have, like, the guest entertainers as far as from the rap world or hip-hop world. So, like, they're putting on a show. And Floyd is one of the biggest showmen. So he understands there's no threat for him to get hurt. So, of course, he's going to play defense. He's going to lick his tongue out, look at the crowd. He's going to try and embarrass this guy. And then he's going to put him down. But he's not going to put him down with a headshot. He's going to put him down by going to his body and probably make him poop on himself.
Well, that would be unfortunate if that happened. I will say this. That Triller Fight Club with Al Bernstein having to throw to a guy named Crime Faces and talking about how he's a comedian and a humorist.
Right.
And then later, Al talking about having a contact high. I'll tell you what, that at the very least, that's where entertainment is headed. That was entertaining. That was an entertaining night.
And that's where boxing goes, too. I mean, I think boxing's going to start stealing some of the elements. Like, yo, we can take – because Triller has a real legitimate fight coming up. I forgot the kid here that just won a championship. They won the fight with a $5 million perks.
Well, it's going to be talked about, and it's going to be a lot about nothing. That's my feeling on Floyd and Logan Paul. Well, tomorrow is the day, and we will have you covered from pillar to post on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Barton Hahn out.
Ahala.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.